Well, it is good to be here in Oxford this morning. Let's see if all y'all are still clapping at the end. It is good to be here this morning. I know that we have a few things coming up. I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer. I see that we have a camp presentation by Diana Talbert in just a little bit. And real fast, before I even go any further, I remember seeing a few of you out just in the past couple days. I'd like to go ahead and remind you to keep lifting up Jack Scott's family in prayer, who just passed away. And I know that many of you were at the celebration of life just this past Friday and the visitation on Thursday evening. I know that the family would very much appreciate those continued prayers because, you know, that family is kind of a big deal in this area, I've come to learn over the past 3 years. And so just continued prayers for them as they go and through and process their grief, but at the same time celebrate with joy that Jack is whole. He no longer has to worry about those health concerns any longer. So, all of that said and done, happy 4th of July, everybody. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, you rule all the peoples of the earth. Inspire the minds of all women and men to whom you have committed the responsibility of government and leadership in the nations of the world. Give to them the vision of truth and justice, that by their counsel all nations and peoples may work together. Give to the people of our country zeal for justice and strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will. Forgive our shortcomings as a nation, Lord. Purify our hearts to see and love the truth. And Lord, allow us to use our liberty this day to lift you up in prayer, to lift you up in thanksgiving, to lift up your name in glory, while at the same time, remembering that this to be done every day. We love you, we trust you, and it's in your name we pray. Be with us during this hour of worship. Amen.
Good morning, and welcome everybody on this beautiful, warm, and sunny Sabbath day. It's great to see everyone here, and we especially welcome Reverend Ben Cassaday to our worship service and as our pastor. And it's really an exciting day as we start our journey and ministry with you together. This is his first Sunday, but on July 24th, Sunday after worship service, we will have a special welcome celebration for Ben and his family. So it will be a carry-in right after worship service on the 24th. So we look forward to that and also hearing your message this morning. Well, it's just been a short 246 years ago that the Second Continental Congress of the 13 Colonies on July 2nd, 1776, signed the Declaration of Independence, declaring independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. They signed it on July 2nd, and Congress ratified it on July 4th. There was a committee of five that drafted it, and 56 delegates signed it, forming the 13 colonies into the United States of America. And aren't we glad they did? May you have a wonderful day tomorrow as you celebrate Independence Day and reflect upon and be thankful for those men that had the wisdom, the foresight, and the guts to write and sign that document. May we always give God the glory for America the Beautiful. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Our liberties are in our laws. If we follow our laws and they're just, we are free.
Would you stand and read the scripture with me, please? From Psalms 30, 1 through 12, from the CEB. I had to look that up because I wasn't sure what the CEB, I know that we had them when Linda was here, but Common English Bible, because I usually use the NIV, but Ben likes that to use sometimes, so here we go. I exalt you, Lord, because you pulled me up. You didn't let my enemies celebrate over me. Lord, my God, I cried out to you for help, and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from the grave, brought me back to life from among those going down to the pit. You who are faithful to the Lord, sing praises to him. Give thanks to his holy name. His anger lasts for only a second, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay all night, but by morning, joy. When I was comfortable, I said, I will never stumble. Because it pleased you, Lord, you made me a strong mountain. But then you hid your presence. I was terrified. I cried out to you, Lord. I begged my Lord for mercy. What is to be gained by my spilled blood, by my going down into the pit? Does dust thank you? Does it proclaim your faithfulness? Lord, listen and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. You took off my funeral clothes and dressed me up in joy, so that my whole being might sing praises to you and never stop. Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So let's bow in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankful and grateful hearts that you are with us here today. We are thankful for answered prayers. We are thankful for doctors and nurses who do your work in helping our people who need their healing hands. We are thankful today for our founding fathers, who I am sure prayed more than once for your wisdom in forming the Constitution and gaining freedom for the people. We pray for the men and women who are out there still helping to keep this freedom. We pray for our leaders today that they will call on you for wisdom. Not only our leaders, Lord, but us. Yes, us. We, the people, your people, that we will study your word and pray. As it says in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will heal their land. So let us keep praying and listening for God's answers. We have so many things to be thankful for. The beautiful sunshine and the crops continuing to grow. We do ask for some rain, Lord, and soon, if it is your will. We are thankful that Ben has said he will be our pastor, and we pray that all will go well and that we will all work together to spread your word of love and grace and mercy for all. Amen.
I normally have a cane, but I got out my walking stick for camp. Come here, Tucker. Everybody wants to see you. Do you have your bag all packed?
Not yet. I'm going to do it after church.
Okay. Make sure that you take your favorite pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have bedding?
Yeah.
Good. You see, although he lives at Pine Creek this year, he's going to be a camper. He's going to live in one of those wonderful cabins with no air conditioning, along with two friends, right?
I think one or someone else.
Is Ivan?
Yeah, Ivan's coming.
And Noah?
Yeah, Noah.
So Ivan and Noah Piercy from Pine Village is going to join him. Our church helped them a little bit financially so they could go, and so did their. They go to Bible Church in Pine Village, and they helped also. So he's got two friends. They're going to all, are you all going to be in the same cabin?
I think me and Ivan are. I don't know about Noah.
Oh.
He might be in a different one.
Oh, he might be separated, huh? Well, we'll pray about that. We always give you a cross, okay, to take with you. Now, it's your choice whether you want to give it away to somebody that you might meet that maybe needs a little bit of encouragement, or you can keep it, okay?
Okay.
So it's your choice. Now, I have one for Ivan and one for Noah. Will you make sure that they get those?
Mm-hmm.
And next week, Noah and Ivan will be with us, so you'll all meet the other two kids that are going to go. And then I get to quiz you about camp. That's my favorite. So listen, babes, love you. You have a good time, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's pray. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this young man, Tucker, and for Noah and Ivan, who are going to be at church camp this year. Let them find your grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Have a good one. We'll see you next week to introduce Ivan and Noah along with Tucker. And Davey leaves next week also. So they come back, Davey leaves, and our minister, oh, he disappeared, Ben. And our minister, Ben, is going to be with Davey, so that ought to be fun. I just can't hardly wait to hear what goes on there. So, okay. So for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be camp, camp, camp. So I'll see you later. Bye.
Bountiful God, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. May the offerings we bring before you this day be a sign of our commitment to labor in your vineyard. May the gifts we share with the world reflect our commitment to bring your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Standing for the gospel this morning, John chapter 1, verses 15 through 25. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go." He said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. This was the one who had leaned against Jesus at the meal and asked him, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw this disciple, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain until I come, what difference does that make to you? You must follow me." Therefore, the word spread among the brothers and sisters that this disciple wouldn't die. However, Jesus didn't say he wouldn't die, but only If I want him to remain until I come, what difference does that make to you? This is the disciple who testifies concerning these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If all of them were recorded, I imagine the world itself wouldn't have enough room for the scrolls that would be written. This is the word from our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that we have to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, being able to meet some new faces, some new folks, and hopefully don't screw up too many names. But Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity to come to Oxford. I want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to figure out what ministry together is going to look like moving forward. We're going to be looking at this passage from John a little bit, Lord, but mostly this is going to be an opportunity for me to share a little bit about myself to these people. So, Lord, I humbly ask that the words from my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So, I've done services at churches where it was like three services in the morning. Granted, I didn't have to drive between churches to do that. But this morning's a little bit different because what I preached at Otterburn is not what I'm preaching here. As a matter of fact, truthfully, today what I like to do is share with a new congregation. I come to a little bit about my story, a little bit about my background, so you guys know whether or not to be, you know, a little bit scared. There's no reason to be scared, I promise. a little bit of reason. That's not a hidden short joke, is it? I have to admit, I'm really surprised, Grant. When Diana said that I disappeared, I'm surprised. There was a short joke in there just waiting to be said. Y'all got a big pulpit up here. My life, it's been good. My life has been blessed. You know, I have to admit, though, that there have been times in my life where I have felt envious of other individuals. You know those stories that some people share? I was down on my luck, I hit rock bottom, and then I got in that car accident, and somehow I walked away completely unscathed. Because of the Lord Jesus, and from that day forward, I followed him. There's those people that have stories like I was drunk and I was addicted to drugs and alcohol or pornography or any of that stuff, but then I met Jesus and I started following him. Like, you hear these dramatic 180 stories and you're like, oh, Jesus did something awesome in their life. And then I look at my life, I might as well have been born in the sanctuary of my church, folks. Like that phrase, cradle Methodist. I was a womb Methodist. I grew up in Anderson, Indiana. My home church is Anderson First UMC. And I knew that layout of that building that took up an entire city block in downtown Anderson, like the back of my hand. There's this game in youth group called Sardines, where one kid goes off and hides and the rest of the youth group tries to find that one kid. And when they find you, they like try to find a hiding spot right next to you. And so you're all crammed like sardines. Hey, that's a clever name. They hated it when I was the sardine. I knew how to get in every single nook and cranny. It didn't matter if a door was locked because I knew the back way into that same room that I wanted in anyway. I grew up in the Methodist Church. And there hasn't been a point in my life where I haven't felt like Jesus hasn't been walking next to me. A lot of us have seen this picture of two footprints that are walking alongside each other in the sand, just the footprints left there. And in some ways, it feels like that's been my life. I haven't known a moment in my life where I didn't know Jesus. There have been times when Jesus has been a lot closer. There's been times when I didn't feel like Jesus was there at all. But there's that weird feeling when I when I think I'm getting it right, when I know that the Spirit's moving in me, it's like I get this like tingly feeling on the top of my head, like God's just patting me, like, well done. Well done. You're right where I need you to be. Funny enough, I'm getting that tingle right now. A lot of my life has been around camp, you know. A lot of my life has been at camp, Pine Creek specifically. The children's ministry at Anderson First UMC would take a weekend. We would stay in the program center, all those bunk rooms and whatnot. And then my first full week at camp was middle school week, and that was a blast. Then I found out something. My counselor was only 16 years old when I was in middle school. I'm letting you know that, because next week, we need some 16-year-olds and up for counselors. But I knew during that week that I wanted to come back. I wanted to serve in some form of capacity. I knew I wanted to come back on staff at Pine Creek. I felt a calling to do some form of ministry there. What was it? Summer between my sophomore and junior year. I just turned 17 years old. Just. And like 2 days later, I have the car packed. I'm ready to shoot across the state of Indiana from Anderson on over to this little place called Pine Village, a little camp just south of it. And I'd be on staff there for 5 out of the following 6 summers. I would meet people that would impact my life. I would say wormed their ways into my heart, but they didn't have to do any worming. They loved me, they accepted me, they welcomed me in. I met my wife out at Pine Creek Camp that last summer. And no, we did not date during camp, Grant. But so much of how I developed and how I learned and how I growed spiritually was around serving at camp. Camp became a second home for me in a very real way. So when I get to go back out there, it's like I get to go home. That's a good feeling. One of those summers, I also went out to Senior High Institute, the fancy word for senior high church camp back when I was in youth. Now they call it that thing. There's so many things I want to say about naming. It's ridiculous. But I'm going to refrain. I'm going to be good. But I remember when I went to Senior High Institute, that's when I first felt my calling into pastoral ministry. It was the summer before my freshman year of high school. And I did what any sane person would do upon hearing a call into ministry. I ran away from it. I was coming up with any plan I could possibly think of that would somehow get me out of it. Because I'm thinking, you know what? I want to travel. Traveling would be great. I want to be able to support a family. Family would be great. I had all these stereotypes in my head about a pastor barely being able to scrape by, and it's true. There are some pastors that are in that situation. I had all these preconceived notions of what a pastor was and is not, and I let that kind of dwell in my head for quite some time and form me and shape me in ways that I kind of wish I didn't. Happens. So, my beginning of my freshman year of college, I stopped running away from it. I went on a vocation retreat co-sponsored with the chaplain department and the theology department at Hanover College, my alma mater. I thought, this is a free night in a fancy hotel in Louisville, Kentucky. Why would I say no to that? You don't. But it was while I was there, and during one of the breaks, I was sitting down, I was talking with one of the other students that had gone, and she began to open up about her life to me, about her relationship with her father. And in the back of my head, I can't for the life of me remember any single question I ever asked her about any of it. But somehow, she knew I was safe to talk to, I was safe to share, I was safe. And during this conversation, you know those like old lights that you might see at a, like a Walmart sale back in the day? It's like that red light was going off the back of my head, and it was God saying, you better get used to this because you're going into the ministry. I'm like, okay, God. Here I am, a theater major at Hanover College. You would never know it began as a Presbyterian seminary. And being around the theater department, you certainly would not know that that theater used to be the chapel. But every day during my undergrad experience, I was owning a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more what this call to ministry was. It didn't mean I didn't still try to finagle my way out of it in some way, shape, or form. Maybe I can manage camp. Maybe I can run Pine Creek one day. Seriously, I had that thought in my head. I was insane. And God kept saying, nope, this is where you need to go. This is where you need to go. I share that bit with you because there have been a number of times in my life where I had these preconceived notions that maybe life could have been better, or maybe life will be better if I find another way forward. If I find another way. My college pastor, though, she took mercy on me. I would walk in her office with holes in my jeans at the knees. I was very rough on my clothes, I'm just saying. And we would sit down and we would talk for a long time, frequently. And one of the things that Vicki Perkins shared with me was, if there is anything else you could do and be fulfilled, do that instead. If there's not, then go into pastoral ministry. Theater would be fun. That's my undergraduate degree. That's what I majored in. I found out I had a little bit of a knack for it, but it wouldn't fulfill me. There was a time in high school I thought it'd be great to be a diplomat. High hopes. That wouldn't fulfill me. And every once in a while, I still have this thought going through my head amongst all the drama and stuff in the denomination. What if I did something else? And none of that would be fulfilling to me because I know where God has called me. So I had these preconceived notions of what a pastor would be that kept me from wanting to be a pastor. Then I finally decided, okay, I'm going to own it. I'm going to be a pastor one day. And I still found myself still having preconceived notions. When I went to seminary at Asbury, down in Wilmore, Kentucky, if you hear me say y'all or slip out in a southern accent, that's where I picked it up from. 4 years there. I would apologize for it, but I can't help it. I had this crazy idea, this preconceived notion that the good pastor doesn't do theater. And I thought, okay, Hanover, I got it out of my system. Let's just move on and be someone else, be something different, because that's what you're supposed to be, right? How many of us have ever had that idea in our heads, this is what I'm supposed to be? A few head nods, a few of you are honest. All right, good, good. Off on a good foot. So I go to seminary. I move into this duplex off campus. I'd never been off campus of a school before. Like, all through undergrad, I was an RA. I was in the dorms, and all of a sudden I'm not in the dorms, but I'm still going to school. That was just weird for me. It threw me for a trip. But I remember sitting in Greek class one day toward that first week, and one of those things that professors do, go ahead and share your name with the class, and one interesting thing, it's like we're not doing a team-building exercise. We're trying to learn the conjugations to the Greek alphabet and words. I mean, that's not the point. Anyways, we had to say our names and one thing that was interesting about us. So, you know, I'm on this far left side of the room when I go. I said, hi, my name is Ben Cassaday. And interesting fact, I was a theater major, thinking that was going to be weird or abnormal for seminary and da-da-da-da. You know, good pastor doesn't do theater and all that jazz. snakes around to the other side. A girl stands up. Hi, my name is Courtney. Hey, theater major. We're having auditions. We're having auditions for our upcoming performance. Show up next week, Tuesday. The show in question was The Diviners. The show in question was written in the very classroom I had spent so much time at Hanover College. I couldn't get away from it. Oh, man, this feels stupid to say, but I was literally bargaining with God. I felt like Gideon, you know? I'm going to put a fleece right here. God, if you want me to do this, you're going to make this wet, but the ground around it dry. Next morning, fleece is wet, the ground around it is dry. Okay, God, I'm going to put this fleece right here. In the morning, this fleece is going to be dry, and the ground around it's going to be soaking wet, okay? I made a deal with God. Fine, God. If you need me to be something else completely, if you want me to be something other than who I think I am, if you want me to have nothing to do with theater, period, for the rest of my life because I'm going to the ministry, I'm going to be the good pastor, whatever good pastor means, I'm going to audition, and you won't give me a part in the play. If this is something you need me to own and continue forward with, I'll get a part. Sounds simple enough, right? I go to the audition. The next few days, I had the lead. I had the lead in a play that was written at my alma mater, a place where I was figuring out who I was and what a lot of my strengths and weaknesses were. And I was beginning to realize, okay, not only do I need to own my call, I need to own who God made me. Some of us who feel like we have to be something to be the good Christian, the good pastor, the good neighbor, the good fill in the blank. What does that even mean? God made you who you are. Don't try to be something else. Be true to who God made you to be. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself fulfilled. You're going to know what it is to be loved. And even better yet, you're going to know what it is to love even more authentically as a result. Peter is asked by Jesus three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And we can go into like hours of conversation about what that means theologically, you know, about how this is supposed to be mirroring those three times that Peter denied Jesus. We can go theologically into how Jesus was asking three different kinds of love, you know, in the Greek, and how each one of those is a deeper level still, and how each one of those levels are incredibly important. But at the end of the day, I'm recognizing, I'm seeing myself in the shoes of Peter, or in the sandals of Peter in that instance. And I realize where I've said, yes, Jesus, I love you, you know this. Yes, Jesus, I love you, you know this. Yes, Jesus. Because of that call that I felt in my life, where I was told to feed my sheep. But then Peter does something else very interesting. He sees John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He sees the author of this gospel kind of slinking behind, trying to eavesdrop in the conversation a little bit. Peter had literally just been told, this is what your life is going to end up at. On this side. This kind of sacrifice is a scary thing. Peter was wondering if there was a way he could serve Jesus, but do it in a little bit more favorable terms. Maybe I can run Pine Creek Camp. I can't. Maybe I can be something else, but I wouldn't find fulfillment. But Peter asked about that disciple, what about him? And Jesus' reply, what about him? Seriously, what about him? You need to be concerned about you. Are you following me? Are you loving the way that I am calling you to love? Don't try to be someone else. Don't let anyone tell you that you need to be someone else. I made you for a reason. You have gifts. You have talents. You have strengths. Be you and serve me being you. I've been a pastor now. I was ordained on my 30th birthday. Imagine if the Board of Ordained Ministry said no to me. That would have been a cruddy birthday. I was ordained on my 30th birthday. I've been in ministry for about 10 years now as a pastor. My first appointments, I was up in Munster, and that church was going through the second phase, the second stage of what was known at the time as the fruitful congregation journey, and I was beginning to learn what a visioning process looks like for a church. I go down to Sullivan for 5.5 years, just south of Terre Haute. That was a culture shift. I go down to Sullivan, Indiana for 5.5 years, and I walked Sullivan First UMC through the fruitful congregation journey, where I walked them through a visioning process where they were looking at our strengths, at their strengths, their weaknesses, and their community, and what it is that they could do to engage with the community around them. Just this past year, I walked with Otterburn UMC. I tweaked everything that I had been learning so far and helped to make it more of a lay-led introspection of our strengths and our weaknesses and figuring out what our vision in the midst of our community is. I share this with you because Oxford UMC, we're going to do some fun stuff together. We're going to be taking a look at ourselves. Who are we as a church? Who are we as a congregation? Who is the community that we are settled in? What is our mission field? And how are we being called to engage? I'm sharing this with you right now because I want you to know up front, I'm not going to try to make you another church. Y'all don't need to be another church. Y'all need to be Oxford UMC. Y'all need to be who God is calling you to be. So don't think for a second I'm going to try to transform you into another Otterburn. Or I'm going to try to transform you into some mega church. That's not the point. The point is God made you who you are as a congregation, as a community of faith. I get the privilege, and I hope that you'll honor me by allowing me to walk with you in that discovery process. That's the hope. That's the dreams. I'm ambitious, folks. So I come in this morning flying by the seat of my pants, hoping to make it on time. And I'm sitting up there, and I'm thinking, this is going to be fun. I'm hoping that y'all can agree with me on that, too. Yeah, there'll be moments. There'll be moments where we're honest with ourselves. There'll be those moments where we might realize, ah, geez, maybe I'm not who I thought I was. And that's okay. As long as you're learning who God is making you to be, that's the point. Because until you can do that, you're not loving the way that God calls you to love. We're all in this together. Don't let whatever preconceived notions you might have walking into this block your way from authentic discipleship and authentic growth. That's what we're going to be about. Being true to who God made us to be. That's me in a salty nutshell. Thanks for letting me be here. And I'm looking forward to our time moving forward together. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that you have given us to gather together. Thankful for this opportunity that you have given us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, teaching us what it is to love one another more authentically, learning what it is to be who you have called us to be. Lord, be with us as we move forward. Help us to keep looking towards you, to follow you, not behind us, saying, well, what about them? Help us to focus on you and who you have called us to be. Lord, we love you and we trust you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Our privilege this morning of being able to come together, I believe, is emphasized by being able to participate in this gift of communion, of that reminder that together we are the body of Christ, and that reminder that God is still with us, yes, even today and moving forward. I invite you now to follow along in the communion liturgy as we express that very hope and desire. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these our mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As Don comes forward this morning to help serve communion, I want to remind you one of the things that I love about the United Methodist Church is that we practice what is known as an open table, which means you don't have to be a member of the United Methodist Church. You don't have to be a member of this church in particular in order to partake. If you absolutely have to have a rule or a stipulation attached to communion, the only requirement is a willingness to draw closer to God this day. The table is set. As you feel called and willing, you are invited to come forward and partake. One thing you're probably going to pick up pretty quick, I rather like my Irish Celtic heritage. So songs like Be Thou My Vision, that was my jam, or may not have been listening to some like Celtic folk all the way here from Otterbein to here. And every service I've ended, well, about 99.5% of them, has been this Irish blessing. Until we see each other again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, my friends, be who God made you to be. Don't try to be someone else, and know that you are precious as the Almighty holds you in the palm of his hand. Amen.